It is a blessing to be with you this evening, and we are very grateful for those of you who have come and joined us from other congregations. Thank you very much for being here. Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. We're just going to be looking at verse 8. You can find this on page 1382. If you're using the Pew Bible, I'll be reading from the New King James Version, which is the same as you have in the pew. Let's give attention now to the Word of God. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, that it's a living word, active and powerful. And we pray that you might speak through your word to us, that we might see in Abraham a picture of our Savior. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I suppose my interest in science has gone back a long way in my life. I can remember as a grade school child being fascinated by a video that we were shown once where a man who was seemed to be an African sort of native in some rural bush area was demonstrating how to catch a monkey. And so he went over to a large termite hill and took a stick and carved a little hole into the termite hill until it went in and connected with some of the inner tunnels in the termite hill. And then as he'd been working with his stick, he had termites all over it. So he pulled off all the termites, threw them into the little hole inside, and then he went and hid behind a tree. And so sure enough, a monkey who had been watching what he was doing, very curious, came over eventually and reached into the hole and grabbed on, reached down and grabbed on and had a hold of this pile of termites. And of course, at that moment, the monkey was caught because it would not release what was in its hand and started to scream and pull and jump, but could not get his hand out of the hole because he would not release his grip on what was in the hole, on the termites. And so the man just trotted over there and put a rope around the monkey's neck, and that was it for the monkey. The monkey had been captured. And in some ways, of course, this is a picture of how all people are. We like routine. We like what's comfortable, what's known to us. And we cling to what we know, even when God would have us open our hand and he would put something better in it. And as we look at Abraham this evening, I want you to see in Abraham a picture of the kind of faith that every person is called to have in Christ. It's a faith that lets go of what it has a hold of so that God may put something better into the hand. We see this in Abraham, but we see this most particularly in Jesus Christ, because it's Jesus Christ who let go of everything he had in this world so that people like you and me could have a living and true faith in him. And let's see how that comes out then in our text. The first thing I'd like you to see is that Abraham is presented to us as a paradigm of true faith in God. The verse says, by faith Abraham. It's about Abraham. It's about faith. Abraham's a model for our faith. The book of Hebrews was written to Jewish converts to Christianity who were considering going back to Judaism as they were under persecution. And so the writer is arguing with them, don't do that, and arguing for the superiority of the Christian faith and their need to be trusting and walking with the Lord Jesus. And most of us are familiar with this 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. It's sometimes called the Faith Hall of Fame, where we have a list of over 15 people mentioned by name, but then many others alluded to in these verses. 20% of all the verses are about Abraham in this chapter. Paul, wanting to argue and explain what salvation by faith is in the New Testament, devotes a chapter in Romans chapter 4, and two chapters in Galatians, where he uses Abraham and Abraham's faith as a model of what true faith is. Abraham is presented to us as a prototype of faith. He's called the father of the faithful, and this is applied to the Old Testament Jews and to New Testament believers as well. And you have to see Abraham this evening as a paradigm for your faith, the kind of faith that God desires from all of his people. Well, secondly, I want you to see here that true faith means being willing to let go of what you have in the world. It says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out Abraham was called to go out, and he obeyed. Faith means obeying. Faith means acting on the promises, acting on God's commandments. If we go back to the book of Genesis, the event which is being described here in Hebrews 11, it says in Genesis 12:1, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house.'" And we have to realize this is not a trivial thing that God is asking this elderly man to do. We know that Abraham was a wealthy man. He had vast resources. And he was supposed to leave the place where he had made all that wealth. And he was to walk away from his community, from his extended family, from everything that was familiar to him, from his friends, his associates, everything that he valued. He was to walk away from it, and he was to go 1,000 miles away from his home. And realize he had absolutely no reason to do this, apart from God telling him that he should do it. And I want you to realize this is of the essence of true faith. Letting go of what you have when God calls you to do that. This is repeated over and over in Abraham's life. You realize that? Abraham's promised a son. The son's not coming. He marries his wife's maidservant, Hagar. He has a son. Okay, now I've got the son. What does God say? Let the bondwoman and her son go. He has to let go. God finally gives him a son with his wife Sarah, Isaac. This precious son that he's been waiting all his life for. And the son comes, and what does God say? Sacrifice your son. You got to let him go. And Abraham is commended again and again in the scripture for his faith, which was a faith that was willing to let go of what he had in the world. My family had the privilege of living in Northern Ireland for 2 summers, 2013 and 2014. And we served the church that Philip grew up in. We stayed on the farm that Philip's father and brother own. They hosted us. And we were all over Northern Ireland in those 2 summers. And I know that the McCullums gave up a lot to come here. They gave up a beautiful homeland, beautiful people, faithful churches, loving family members, a huge extended family. Almost every other person's named McCullum over there. They gave up a lot. 3 months they've been over here. They just got their possessions this week. They gave up a lot. This takes true faith. And you may be here this evening wondering, what is it that God is asking me to give up? It could be something that you need to give up, some sin in your life, something that you're holding on to that you know is displeasing to God, and you've got to let that go. But it could be something good that you've made an idol in your life. And God's saying, you have to let go. You have to let go. God sometimes asks you to let go of your health. He asks you to let go of a loved one. He asks you to let go of a relationship. He asks you to let go of a job. There's all kinds of things God may ask you to let go. Faith means trusting God enough to let go of whatever it is you're holding on to. But we also see here that true faith means expecting God to more than compensate you for whatever it is you lose for Him. God's going to put something back in your hand far better than anything you let go of. Again, our text, he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. What's interesting, he didn't know where he was going. Later in the verse, he went out, not knowing where he was going. That's even more remarkable than the fact that he left in the first place. Now, I don't know if everyone knows this, but Heather McCullum came here without ever having visited Bloomington in her, well, I guess you visited once, right? But not to see the church. You've been through one time, didn't meet the people in the congregation. She came here on faith, but at least she knew where she was going. She could get out a map and she could say, this is the place. She could look at the website. I know this is the place. That wasn't Abraham's situation. He had no idea where he was going. He couldn't say, well, here's where I am, and I can look at the pros and cons of this, and here's where I'm going, and I can look at the pros. So with my eyes open, I'm making this decision. He didn't have that. God said, go out. Go out, and I will show you. Start traveling, and I'll tell you where you're going. And Abraham did that. He opened his hand, and he let go of what he had, because he believed God would give him something better. The first verse in Hebrews 11 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Abraham could see what he was giving up, but he could not see what God was giving him, but he believed in God. And as the Hebrews goes on to tell us in verse 10, he was looking forward to a city that has foundations whose designer and builder is God. Abraham believed that God was going to give him an eternal inheritance, far greater than anything that he was going to give up. And what really he was getting was God himself. That God gave himself to Abraham to be his God. And that was worth anything that he had in the world. I'm not sure if you've been following the story of Leah Sharabu, the Nigerian schoolgirl who was taken with about 104 of her classmates last spring. And they've all been returned to their families except for her, because she's the only one who would not recant her Christian faith and embrace Islam. And the Boko Haram captors who have her have said they're going to kill her shortly if she doesn't renounce her faith. This girl doesn't have anything in this world except her life and God. And that's enough. That's enough for her to let go of everything she has in the world. They call her the greatest Christian in Nigeria because so many people have been inspired by her faith and her refusal to compromise. This is a 15-year-old girl now we're talking about. Well, Abraham believed God had something better for him. He didn't believe necessarily God had something easier for him, or that God had something more comfortable for him, but that God had something better for him. And I want you to realize this evening, this is always true for you. God has something better for you if he asks you to let go of what you have now. It may not be easier. It may not be more comfortable, but it's better. It's better. And those of you who have walked with God through difficult trials know that this is the case. You know what God has given you, even through your trials, that far outweighs whatever it is you gave up. Jesus himself said to his disciples, no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake will not receive 100 times more in this age and in the age to come eternal life. There's nothing the Lord can take out of your hand that he's not greater than. The Lord gives us himself. True faith is letting go so God can give you something better. And understand that this kind of faith, the kind of faith that lets go of what you have so that you might take hold of something better, is a faith that only comes to you as a gift. And so Abraham here is not just an example, a paradigm of what this faith looks like. He's also a paradigm of how this faith comes to a person. It comes to a person completely as a gift of God. We know from other places in the Bible that when God came to Abraham, he was a pagan worshiping foreign gods, the scriptures tell us. Abraham was not searching for God. God came and found him. He chose Abraham. Out of all the pagans in the world, he chose Abraham, and he went to Abraham. In Stephen's great speech before the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 7, he says, brethren and fathers, listen, the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran. God appeared to him and spoke to him. And so when God called him, what God was doing was calling him in such a way that actually brought forth the faith that he never could have produced on his own. As Matthew Henry says, this was an effectual call by which he was converted from the idolatry of his father's house. He was not looking for God. God chose him and God came to him and God changed him. And my friends, that's the only way anyone ever finds God, is if God comes to you and changes your heart and enables you to love him and come to him. And man, do we need to hear that. Those of you who preach for a living need to hear that. We cannot change anybody. Only God the Spirit can. And those of you who have unsaved family members and friends, you need to hear that. You can't change anybody. Only the Holy Spirit can. And if you're here this evening and you don't yet know the Lord, and you recognize you can't change yourself, only the Holy Spirit can. You need to receive salvation as a gift. And we need to pray, thank you, Lord, if we believe. And if we know people that don't believe, we need to pray, Lord, work. Do that work in their lives that they might come to have faith and love for the Lord. So the faith, this faith that lets go so that God can put something better in our hands is a gift. But I want you to see this evening that it's only because Jesus Christ let go of everything he had in this world that you and I can live a life of faith. You might be listening to this and say, well, I don't have that kind of faith. I know God wants me to give up something and I'm not doing it. I can't do it. And I want you to realize Abraham couldn't do it either. The only way that Abraham was able to walk away from everything he knew was because the Lord Jesus Christ walked away from everything he knew. He went out from heaven, left the glory of heaven, allowed his splendor to be masked as he came into this broken, corrupted world and had to deal with filth and disease and sin and sickness and death and all the distortions that are normal in this fallen world. And Jesus left everything that he knew to come into a world like that. But recognize, even as he lived in this sin-soaked world, he had perfect fellowship with God the Father throughout his whole life. Remember, as a 12-year-old, he's not in the company traveling like he's supposed to. Where is he? His parents find him in the temple. What are you doing? He chastises them. Don't you know that I have to be about my Father's business? He's walking in perfect fellowship with the Lord in this sin-soaked world. But not on the cross. When he goes to the cross, he gives up everything. Because he even gives up his relationship with the Father. This is why he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's in the dark. He's alone. And not even God the Father is with him anymore. He's come out from everything that's good, as he bears the sin of his people and suffers the righteous judgment of God. Jesus let go of everything. And because he did that, people like you and me who don't let go when we should can be forgiven. And furthermore, can be empowered to let go when God asks us to let go and to open our hand and to let him put something even greater back into it. If you're here this evening and you have never let go of your sin and your selfishness and your efforts to save yourself, let go so that the Lord may put himself in your life and save you. And if you're here as a believer this evening, ask the Lord, what is it that I'm holding on to, Lord, that is keeping me trapped where I should not be? And by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who went out even from his Father for your sake, may you be enabled to open your hand so that God might put his blessing into it. Let's pray and we'll ask him to help us do that. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise your holy name for our Savior. Oh Lord God, we can't begin to understand what Jesus Christ gave up so that he could save us. How could Jesus let go even of his relationship with you as he bore our sins? And yet he did it. He did it because he knew you were putting an eternal kingdom into his hand and all those for whom you died. Heavenly Father, help us. We thank you that this kind of faith is a gift, because if it weren't, we would have no hope of having it. Lord God, may we see our Savior as he really is, and would you give us the strength that we need to trust him, to let go of what you're calling us to let go of, that we might receive the blessing that you have for us. Lord, help us even this coming week that we might honor our Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to Psalm 84, selection B. We'll sing in response to God's word. This psalm speaks about the people of God coming up to worship the Lord, and they come with their Savior as their shield. That's a picture not only of our worship, but of our life in Christ as we go up following after our Savior. Let's stand and we'll sing Psalm 84b.